You can meet and hear Bill Barr, Albert Moeller, Pavi Rossinen, Chris Roseborough, Brian Wolfmiller, Joel Bierman, and Will Wheaton at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 24th and Saturday, June 25th in Chicago. For more information, visit IssuesETC.org or call 618-223-8385. The 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 24th and 25th at Concordia University, Chicago.
God told me, Eric, you're going to be mayor. And no matter what people said, I knew the focus of where I had to go.
So long as some psychologist says, I think my patient will feel better based on gender dysphoria if they do these 15 surgeries, I don't see a basis for an insurer to say no under this rule.
The church's rejection of racism of every sort is anchored in that vision of Peter in Acts chapter 10 and the call of the gospel of Christ to preach to all people.
Scripture is very clear that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Prophecies and dreams and vision point us to Jesus.
And Polycarp finally, he simply answers, "If you vainly suppose that I will swear by the genius of Caesar as you request, and pretend to not know who I am," he says, "listen carefully. I am a Christian."
Tennis players in Salt Lake City love to listen to Issues Etc. when they're stringing their tennis rackets.
God is the author of reality. If you want to know what's real, you consult him. Listen to what he says. Well, there's a war on reality taking place in our culture, our society, your place of business, your work, in, sadly, even some churches. This war on reality, sometimes called the sexual revolution, has expanded out beyond all of that. And now, I guess we could just call it the LGBTQ agenda, the reality of our own bodies under attack, sometimes physically, really under attack. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's part 11 of our series on the St. Peter Option, Living as Exiles in a Foreign Land. Today, LGBTQ versus man and woman made in the image of God. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. He's pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin, director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy, and he's currently leading a Bible study on the St. Peter Option. Peter, welcome back.
Good to be with you as always, Todd.
As Christians, can we consider the LGBTQ agenda that we see at work almost everywhere around us a direct attack on the image of God?
I believe it's a direct attack on the image of God, that we are made male and female in the image and likeness of the triune God of love. I believe it is a direct attack on Christology, on the gospel of Christ, the incarnation of the Son of God, who came into this world to redeem us as the Son of Mary. He was born as a man, and his redeeming work is that which sanctifies and rescues us from the problem of sin. I believe it is a direct attack on marriage, on family as God instituted it, and it does not lead to mental health and well-being, or spiritual health and well-being, or cultural health and well-being, but it leads to a disintegration of all of those things. So not for the better of mankind, but for its detriment.
Just so we understand the lay of the land, what does the acronym, it's come to be just so common, it trips off the tongue, LGBTQ, what does it mean?
Well, this one is easily identified, LGBTQ, but then it goes on from there to a number of other letters as well. But the basic acronym that you have referred to refers to lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and questioning or queer. It could mean both, depending on the particular context. But it's gone on to have other LGBTQ plus, LGBTTQQIA, which has all kinds of things like intersex, asexual, an ally of those who are in the LGBT community, and so forth. And at its base level, I mean, lesbianism or being gay or homosexual is where the lesbian is a female homosexual who has experiences romantic love or sexual attraction to other females. And gay is the term that refers to biological males who have a same-sex attraction and so forth. Bisexual, well, that's kind of obvious. You're in both camps and so forth. Transgender is an umbrella term for people whose gender identity differs from what is typically associated with the biological sex that they were assigned at birth. Transsexual experience a gender identity inconsistent or not culturally associated with the sex that they were assigned at birth. Two-spirit, a modern umbrella term used by some indigenous North Americans to describe gender-variant individuals in their communities. That's lesser known, but it shows part of the pagan influence here. And then it can go on and on from there. I think it's important to also note that gender dysphoria comes into play here, where not only do you have a lesbian who perhaps is attracted to women or a man who is attracted to men sexually and then acts upon those desires, but then you have those who, I am biologically a male, but I don't want to be that any longer. I identify as a female, and I will mutilate my body and go through hormone therapy to, quote unquote, change my gender. And what is so troubling is this is like a snowball running down a mountain slope full of snow. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's getting out of control, so that it is affecting across the country education, boards of education, curricula, and so forth. In the health field, we have a major hospital up here in Wisconsin, well known for mental health, Rogers Hospital, and it is full blown into affirming gender dysphoria and identification as what used to be something that was treated as a mental health disorder is now affirmed and is promoted by these behavioral health institutions. So it has really become quite out of control in terms of our society and culture. And the church is really behind the times, in my view, in addressing this, not only in terms of condemnation, but most especially in terms of promoting what is good and why it is good, understanding our theology, the theology of creation and the theology of soteriology, which is salvation, and how the two go hand in hand. The image of God, what is it? And what does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be a woman? And why does it even matter? A big part of the LGBTQ agenda, which flows right alongside of the idea that there is no absolute truth. You decide truth is a product of one's own intellect and reason and will and so forth. And so according to that, you know, everyone can do whatever they seems right in their own eyes. And the only dogma that's condemned is to object to that. So acceptance, and this fits right in with the critical race theory that we talked about in our last time together, and the woke ideology is acceptance of whatever deviant practice or particular point of view you might have.
So take us to the order of creation and why it is not only under assault by the LGBTQ agenda, but also the response to it.
The order of creation. I think we need to spend a lot more time talking about this and studying this concept. And by we, I'm talking about the historic Christian church, confessional Lutherans who are deeply troubled and rightly so about the LGBTQ agenda. I don't think we have done our homework enough. The order of creation, what it is to be a man, a woman, the state of being under God in creation. Historic Christianity, Todd, confesses the wonderful gift, and that's what we need to hold up, the wonderful gift that humanity is made, male and female, in the image of the triune God of love, to be fruitful and to exercise dominion over the creation. Now, we've talked about this concept at some length in previous podcasts together, but we still haven't begun to exhaust the significance of it, because it's who we are, made in the image and likeness of God, and that our biological identities are not incidental to who we are, but are central to who we are as being made in the image and likeness of God. We were created by God in love, that self-giving love that I use that term over and over again, sacrificial love. It's not an oppressive love. It is not an introverted love. It's not a controlling love. It is a self-giving love. It is a creative love. It is a love that leads to health and to well-being. It leads to wholeness. We see this love at work among the persons of the Trinity, in the Father's relationship to the Son and the Son's to the Father. The Son is begotten eternally of the Father. The Spirit proceeds in love from the Father and the Son. There's an ordering within the persons of the Holy Trinity, and we need to meditate upon this and think about this and understand how that begins to interface with our own state of being as creatures, men and women, human beings made in the image and likeness of God. So our biological and spiritual identities, Todd, who we are created to be, state of being stuff, as men and women, we need to understand that they are gifts of God. I don't think we extol this at all, but to be a man, what that means, there's a biological component to that, as well as a spiritual component. This is a gift of God. To be a woman, there is a biological component to that. I'm a man. I cannot give birth to children. My wife could, and she did. I was her husband and the father of her children, and there was a wonderful, blessed union in the one flesh relationship, which was not a metaphor, but it produced literal children, four sons and several children that weren't born because of miscarriages, but nonetheless, the gift of procreation is directly connected to being male and female. And in the relationship of human marriage, the one flesh union and family, this is where children are brought into the world. So men and women are gifts of God. And to be created as men and women are the means by which God has given us to give and receive spiritual and biological love with one another within the orders of creation. Spiritual and biological love. The two go hand in hand. The spiritual love is the, you think about the compassion, the care, the protective disposition that I have toward my wife, the affection that I have toward her. It is a spiritual thing that is rooted deeply in my faith in Christ and in His love for me. And then it has a biological dimension as we come together as husband and wife physically in the bonds of holy matrimony in this one flesh union. It is the climax, if you will, of the entire relationship that we share together as husband and wife. It is a spiritual, it is a psychological, it is a mental, and it is a biological union. And this is all within God's ordering of His creation. A man is so ordered by God to give and receive love uniquely and particularly as a man before God, as a son to his parents, a brother to his siblings, a husband to his wife, a father to his children, and a friend to his friends. Now, those are all different relationships, even though we use the term the giving and receiving of love from God and then from the man to his parents, his siblings, his wife, and so forth. But it's a different way in each of those particular relationships, so that the love I have for my 92-year-old mother is quite different from the love I have for my wife, or the love I have for my children, or for my grandchildren, or the love I have for my friends. So distinguishing what is the character of that love is a significant thing, and how it is rightly ordered and rightly distributed or given and rightly received. There can be a perversion of this, and we'll talk about this at great length when we explore the concept that C.S. Lewis articulated in his great book, The Four Loves. But wholeness and health is when these loves and this ordering is according to God's design. But perversion is when the love is twisted and the relationships are perverted, and there's the giving and receiving of quote-unquote love in ways and according to actions and activities that are not within God's design. So each ordering has its proper relationship to God and to the object of love within each particular relationship. A woman is so ordered by God to give and receive love from God in the subordinate relationship to the headship of her father, and then the headship of her husband after she marries. St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:3, the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God the Father. So you can see the ordering within the persons of the Trinity has its implication and significance for the ordering within the human family as man and woman, and particularly as it is played out in marriage and family. So the woman, from her head, either her father before she is married or her husband then after she is married, she is gifted. Because of that relationship of headship, she is gifted with the capacity to give and receive love uniquely as woman. Still as daughter to her parents and sister to her siblings, but most especially as wife to her husband, mother to her children, friend to her friends. These states of being and relationships within the created order are not without significance, but are intrinsically connected to being either male or female.
Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. It's our series on the St. Peter Option. When we return, what's the relationship of this created maleness and femaleness to the image of God? Have you ever wondered why our beloved hymns were written? What influenced the writers to craft these words that proclaim the gospel? Learn more about the words you love to sing in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Eternal Anthems, The Story Behind Your Favorite Hymns. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Eternal Anthems, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, 1-800-325-3040.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Theology for Blue Collar, White Collar, and Clerical Collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The pursuit of truth is the best way to prepare students for lives of responsible freedom and vocational service in family, church, and career. At Concordia University Chicago, truth is one of the pillars of our education, and that makes all the difference for our students. I'm Dr. Eli Hesterman, Dean of the College of Health, Science, and Technology at Concordia Chicago, and I invite you to visit us to discover what it means for truth to become a pillar of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
Confessional Lutherans are invited to rent a four-bedroom, three-bathroom Table Rock lakefront home in the Ozarks. Table Rock Lake is a premier lake in the heart of the Ozarks for boating, water sports, and fishing. This log cabin-style rental sleeps 12 and is 30 minutes from Branson and 20 minutes from Silver Dollar City. Learn more by calling Swanson Estates, 713-855-2681. Be sure to mention Issues Etc., 713-855-2681.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's our series on the St. Peter Option, Living as Exiles in a Foreign Land. Today we're talking about LGBTQ versus man and woman made in the image of God. Pastor Peter Bender of the Concordia Catechetical Academy is our guest. Peter, what is the relationship between this created maleness and femaleness and the image of God?
Our biological state of being as male and female is both physical and spiritual. Our world is still fraught with so many ancient heresies that play out today, like Gnosticism, which disconnects the physical reality from some higher gnosis, knowledge, and that knowledge could come in any varying forms. I think there's an LGBTQ sort of knowledge that the individual person decides who he or she is, or they are, not on the basis of objective criterion anchored in the physicality of one's biology, but rather on the figment of their imagination or the thoughts and inclinations of their own mind. So there is a divorcing of knowledge, desire, mind from the actual body that God has given us. We as Christians need to affirm, and this is why our discussion about the incarnation of the Son of God is so important. He was conceived in the womb of Mary, and he was born the man Jesus. Our biological state of being as male and female is both physical and spiritual. We confess this in the Athanasian Creed concerning the Son of God, and even having a human soul that he assumes then also all flesh into his incarnation. But apart from this ordering, we cannot truly love as God loves, nor can we produce life or be healthy. The overthrowing of God's order and who he has created us to be leads to death. Two men cannot produce life. They may limp along for a while in their relationship together, but eventually they both will die, and there's no offspring to continue the life after them. The overthrowing of God's order and who he has created us to be leads to death, death of lives, death of marriages, death of family, death of culture. All the organs of our body have a proper function and use. To use the organs of our body in ways and for purposes for which God did not design them is sin, which separates us from God and contributes to spiritual, physical, and psychological sickness, separating us from God and from one another. Now, that might seem like a dramatic statement that's hyperbole, but I want you to think about the human heart, the physical organ of the human heart. It has a particular use and a particular function. You know, it pumps blood. It takes blood and pumps it to the lungs to be oxygenated, and then it goes back to the heart to be distributed around the body to bring oxygen-rich blood and nutrients to all of the organs, systems, and cells of the body. And then it returns again in its cycle to be reoxygenated again and so forth. You don't hook up the heart where the kidneys are and expect it to filter the poisons out of the bloodstream. It's not designed to do that. And it's absurd to even think about that, to use the heart in place of the kidneys or the liver in place of the heart. I mean, these organs are designed for entirely different functions and different uses. And if they're not used according to their proper function, or if they become diseased and are not able to perform their function, then the biological organism dies. I think we need to assert the same thing with respect to the sex organs. These are not incidental accoutrements to our bodies. Our sex organs are as important to who we are and to the procreation and preservation of our lives and our mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being as are any other vital organ of our body, heart, liver, kidneys, lungs, brain, etc. And they have the proper function, their proper use. We would never simply remove our heart as if it is not a vital organ. Similarly, the mutilation of the body to alter our state of being sexually is not only a fantasy, but it destroys everything that we were created to be as men and women made in the image and likeness of God. So when we talk about being made in the image and likeness of God and how this plays out, you know, our biology and our sexual organs are intimately connected with this. God made us in his image to be fruitful and to multiply. So when I give of myself to my wife in the one flesh sexual union, that is a reflection of the God of love, who in love creates life and sustains life in creation. And so this is part and parcel of what it means to be made in the image of and likeness of God, and why human sexuality is not incidental to who we are, but directly connected to who we are.
Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. It's our series on the St. Peter Option. On the other side, we'll talk about a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
For nearly 140 years, the Lutheran Witness has taught the faith, defended it against error, and shown forth the great treasures of the Lutheran Church and biblical doctrine. We're continuing this legacy by publishing issues and articles that help you see the world from a Lutheran perspective and that teach biblical doctrine and show forth the treasures of God's Word. Visit our website to learn more and how to subscribe, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Bethel Lutheran Church in Howard City, Michigan preaches Christ and Him crucified.
At Bethel, God's word of salvation is boldly proclaimed in all its truth, and the sacraments are rightly administered.
These means of grace help us peacefully navigate the craziness of this world. Bethel is centrally located between Grand Rapids and Big Rapids, just 2 miles east of US 131.
Our divine services are at 9:30 a.m. Join us this Sunday to receive God's marvelous gifts of grace.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people, by the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom. God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.
Thanks to Franklin in Monticello, Indiana, Key in Morenci, Michigan, Lois in Austin, Texas, and William in Oakdale, Minnesota, for registering today for the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, June 24th and Saturday, June 25th at Concordia University, Chicago. Early bird registration is $135 and includes 3 meals. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or by calling 618-223-8385, Making the Case, June 24th and 25th in River Forest, Illinois. It's our series on the St. Peter Option. We're talking about LGBTQ versus man and woman made in the image of God with Pastor Peter Bender. Pastor Bender, you wanted to make a connection between the Sodom and Gomorrah that we read about in the Old Testament and what you would call a modern Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, I think in the ancient world, Lot, the nephew of Abraham, was caught up there in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and it scandalized him, as the scriptures teach. But that ancient world of homosexuality, where you had Sodomites and Catamites, I mean, Sodomites were the men who were acting like men in terms of their sexual encounter with other men, and then the Catamites were those in the female role receiving the activity of those who were sodomizing them. As well as the Greco-Roman world, you can put into this category as well. The practices of homosexuality and fornication there, in my judgment, were simply governed by raw lust, you know, carnal desire, the gratification of sexual appetite in a self-centered way, simply for introverted, self-centered pleasure. Now, to be sure, that's all over the world and all over the landscape today as well. But the modern world of LGBTQ has sophisticated, if you will, and I put that in quotes, the practices of homosexuality by disconnecting gender from the objectivity of one's biological sex organs and allowing for the redefining of one's state of being purely in terms of personal subjective choice of each human individual. So to deny your inclinations and choice is a form then of oppression, and that falls in well with the wokeism ideology of our day. So this is relativism, Todd, on steroids. I determine who I am and what is right for me. And the modern sophisticated, in quotes, practices of homosexuality and this theology and ideology that surrounds it is a way of sort of trying to, quote, sanctify and legitimize sex change operations and any permutation of one's sexual identification that one chooses to indulge in. So that's why I call it kind of the modern version of Sodom and Gomorrah, but it all results in the same thing, the destruction of humanity, the destruction of marriage, and the destruction of family. And the Apostle Peter really speaks of the times in which we live in his second epistle, where he warns of the false prophets and the false teachers in chapter 2, and how he says that they will bring upon themselves swift destruction. I mean, you think about the Greco-Roman world that was conquered from within and collapsed from within because of moral decay and decadence, as much as it did from external forces that waged war against her. St. Peter talks about, if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed with the filthy conduct of the world. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. And the entire chapter 2 really speaks in Peter's second epistle as a warning to us of how we not only need to take seriously the destructive forces that are at work with the LGBTQ agenda, but how we also need to offer to the world a counter to this in the good way, the better way that is found in Christ and in his redeeming work. His incarnation embraces our humanity, not to destroy it or reorder it, but to sanctify the order of creation that he gave from the beginning. And in Christ and in the gospel of Christ, that's allowed to be brought to its fullest expression, to its fruition. And we need to be talking to our children and teaching them as they're growing up what it is to be a man and what it is to be a woman, what it is for a husband to love his wife and for a wife to love her husband, and how this is the way to mental health and spiritual health and well-being. And this is how the family is promoted and the Christian faith is passed down to the next generation of Christians. And while there are things that I do not necessarily support in Rod Dreher's Benedict option in terms of isolating ourselves from the world around us, in this respect with our children, I think the role of Lutheran schools, Todd, is going to be even more significant today than it has ever been before, especially if we have the public school en masse adopting the critical race theory, woke ideology, the LGBTQ agenda, and we are harming our children at the basic and most fundamental levels of their existence in the elementary schools by this type of curricula and what is going on. If our hospitals and our mental health facilities are taking what used to be considered mental illness, gender dysphoria, and treating it with now acceptance, and those who are more mentally ill or oppressive are those who want to hold to what might be considered traditional values in terms of sexuality and marriage and family down through millennia, then we have a huge problem. And so I think the time has come in which we need to promote the Lutheran elementary school as a place where God's word protects children from the satanic influences of the world around them. And we may need to also be having Christian clinics and hospitals and so forth that are a counter to the total secularization and godless paganism that is at evidence in the world around us and is perverting and corrupting the culture.
There is an attempt on the part of some pastors, theologians, even entire church bodies, to fold the LGBTQ agenda into the mission of the church, and to varying degrees, some by simply saying it's a good thing, and some by saying, well, we don't buy all of it, but who are we to judge, kind of taking that stance. What do you make of those attempts to try and dovetail the LGBTQ agenda with Christian theology and practice?
Yeah, it's as old as Satan's temptation in the Garden of Eden. Did God really say? And then you look at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and it was beautiful. I could look at another man and say, he is really a handsome, good-looking man. But that man is not one that God has given to me to be in a one-flesh relationship. So this is what Satan does, Todd. He takes God's good gifts, and then he perverts them, or he apes them. And this is one of the reasons why, for example, there was such a drive to legitimize in the courts same-sex marriages. Because, to paraphrase Luther, you know, who said things like, when Satan saw that God had sacraments, why, he invented sacraments of his own. And so it wasn't enough for the LGBTQ crowd to simply practice the lifestyle according to their choice. They had to find legitimacy in the society and culture by having the Supreme Court sanction same-sex unions and to put them on the same par with heterosexual union. When the church accommodates the culture, it is extremely destructive to the Christian witness, and we cease to be church. Because then no longer is Christ redeeming us from sin and from death and from the power of the devil. Instead, the gospel becomes, instead of God's forgiveness and righteousness that covers our sin and calls us in repentance to a new way of life that is anchored in what God has created and given and ordered in the scriptures, but rather it turns the gospel into license for each person to do whatever they seem right in their own eyes, to follow their own appetites and desires of the flesh. And this is no faithfulness to the gospel, it is a complete and utter perversion of the gospel. It is true there is no difference in terms of salvation for the Jew and the Greek and the male and the female. We are all one in Christ in that sense. But this in no way obliterates the order of being men and women, husbands, wives, fathers, mothers, and so forth within God's created order. And we cannot relinquish this, otherwise we cease to be church when we lose the gospel and the integrity of the Word of God, and then things disintegrate all around us because of it.
We're talking about LGBTQ versus man and woman made in the image of God in our series on the St. Peter Option with Pastor Peter Bender of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. We'll discuss the tragedies of the LGBTQ movement next.
Blessed be the God who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. This year's Making the Case Conference Hymn Sing will feature hymns designed to sing God's comfort into hurting souls and broken hearts. Lord, Thee I love, I walk in danger all the way. The King of Love my shepherd is. Be still my soul, and a whole bunch more. You know you don't want to miss it. So I'll see you at Concordia University Chicago, June 24th and 25th. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
The sharpest arrow in your apologetics quiver. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does God really exist?
Aren't all religions the same anyway?
Who is Jesus?
These are just some of the questions people ask. Apologetics Today one-day seminars with Dr. Nancy Almodovar and other pastors from local Lutheran churches will teach you how to give a reason for your faith. Come join us on Saturday, May 14th at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Boise, Idaho. For more information or to register, please visit LutheranGirl.org.
Does this sound like your church budget process at the end of the year? You get last year's budget and go through with a committee line by line, maybe what we should spend next year. Maybe you have a prayer. But where's the Word of God in this process? When do the people hear what the small catechism says about giving and why we do it? Contact us at LCMS Stewardship so that we can help you fix this process. Put the Word of God first, and put your congregation on a good footing. lcms.org/stewardship.
Memoria Press exists to promote and impart the classical heritage of the Christian West through an emphasis on the liberal arts and the great works of the Western tradition. The Memoria Press curriculum encourages the development of wisdom and virtue through the pursuit of truth, goodness, and beauty. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR22. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time. memoriapress.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. It's part 11 of our series on the St. Peter Option, Living as Exiles in a Foreign Land. Today, LGBTQ versus man and woman made in the image of God. Peter, talk about the tragedies of the LGBTQ movement.
Right. The first I would say is we have to recognize that there is a malevolent, satanic component involved in the motives of those who are promoting this agenda in healthcare and in education. They are out to destroy the biblical worldview of humanity, marriage, and family. But having said that, what we also have to understand, this goes back to our previous discussion together with regard to critical race theory and wokeism. So often, the slippery slope or the temptation to buy into the LGBTQ agenda comes from accepting certain aspects of the argument. For example, I just want people to be happy and to find fulfillment. Well, that sounds so good. I mean, we want people to be sad, to be miserable. No, we want them to be happy. We don't want them to be unfulfilled. We want them to be fulfilled. But the question is, where is this happiness coming from? What is the source of it? What is the source of actual fulfillment? So when we talked earlier, about race, we want people to be treated equally and fairly and not discriminated against because of color. Of course, that's very Christian at its core. But then that is used to twist the truth into a falsehood, which is ultimately destructive of humanity, marriage, and family in the case of the LGBTQ. So not everyone who has bought into the ideology of LGBTQ is necessarily leading the charge as one of the ministers of Satan. We need to see that our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against thrones and dominions and principalities and powers of darkness. And so we do need to be sensitive to how has someone who has been abused, for example, been harmed and become a victim then of the satanic influence of the LGBTQ crowd and what they're promoting. The second tragedy I would list is that the agenda of the LGBTQ movement and its emphasis upon each individual doing what seems right in his or her own eyes really appeals spiritually to our sinful flesh, the sinful flesh in every one of us. I'm not like this, but I do desire that. And the ideology of personal freedom and choice gives me license to indulge my desires, whatever they happen to be. So I decide, again, who I am. Isn't that fair? That's no more than right. You can't tell me who I am. You can't impose that upon me from the outside. And then, of course, there's this disconnect that we have talked about between one's biology, who I am according to how God has made me, and who I want to be according to the appetites and desires and inclinations of my flesh. And in some cases, they may be influenced by very harmful things that have happened to me. And so I think the wise churchman and pastor needs to be quick to listen to what is it that has caused this child within the congregation, this young adult, to go after this lifestyle. And coming to understand that will help us be able to minister law and gospel and pastoral care to those individuals. And that leads to my third tragedy from the LGBTQ movement, and that is that those who have been emotionally, psychologically, and physically abused, like children, youth, and even adults, within God's proper relationships, if a wife is abused within marriage from her husband, that marriage is a proper relationship. The abuse is improper, whether it's physical or psychological, but the relationship was proper. And what it can cause a wife to do is jettison the proper relationship in favor of an improper relationship to receive love, perhaps from another woman that she wasn't receiving from her proper husband. So the fact that people abuse relationships within God's proper design doesn't mean that God's proper design is evil. It means that the persons who are engaging in that abusive behavior are evil. So this kind of abuse could happen in a parent-child relationship, physical abuse, sexual abuse, and so forth. And so those who are abused often fall prey to the false hopes and the dreams of the LGBTQ ideology, and in extreme cases, gender dysphoria. So I believe you had very recently someone who is a proponent of traditional marriage and family and sexuality who had for a time, because of abuse, she believed she had to jettison her identity as a female, a woman, and transition into becoming a man. And in the healthcare profession today, that is now embraced as a good thing, when, as she indicated, it was going to lead to depression and a destruction of her mental and spiritual health and well-being. And she would, had she gone through with the hormone therapy and the mutilation of her flesh through sex change operations, which is a false thing to begin with, because you can't transition into being a woman if you're a man and have children. It ain't going to happen. There may be some cosmetic things that can be done, but you cannot have children. But nonetheless, this is what happens to so many. And instead of the healthcare profession treating it for what it is, as mental illness, it is now being embraced. Another tragedy or casualty here is civil government and culture has acquiesced to the LGBTQ ideology. And we are now, finding ourselves in the minority, whereas 20 years ago, our view of marriage and family and human sexuality would have been in the majority point of view. I mean, in just a couple of decades, things have radically changed, and that means it's going to be harder and harder for Christians to hold up the truth of God's word in this regard. Liberal mainline churches, as you just alluded to, are accommodating the culture on this subject. In the name of the gospel of Christ's accepting and forgiving grace in Jesus, rather than calling to repentance. Finally, if there is no sin and there is no call to repentance, then there is no gospel. And that's another great tragedy. And then finally, I think for us as historic Bible-believing confessional Christians, the historic church has rightly condemned homosexuality. But I don't think the church has done enough to extol the gift of God's creation, redeemed in Christ, as the better way to mental, physical, and spiritual health and well-being.
You talk about civil government and culture acquiescing, and I think many Christians have been shocked at how quickly that has happened. Of course, it didn't begin with Obergefell. That was a culmination of a lot of very hard work on the part of people who knew that they needed to do that. But how would you respond pastorally to someone who says, it just appears that this has gotten completely away from us?
Well, I would say to them, you're absolutely right. And that's the bad news, isn't it? You know, that's the depressing news, to see the culture disintegrating around us and so forth. But on the flip side of the coin, maybe there is a silver lining in this sense, Todd. If you think about historically how the challenges to the Christian faith have nearly threatened to destroy the church and Orthodox Christian doctrine, and we've almost in every case been late in coming to the table with the answers. You can take it all the way back to the Jerusalem Council when the Judaizing controversy was raging, and here Paul does this good work in Asia Minor, and then there are those false apostles that come after him and undermine his teaching about salvation is by grace alone, through faith in Christ alone, and not by works, and they insisted upon circumcision and following the laws of Moses, thereby scandalizing the entire Gentile church at the time. And so we have to scramble and come back and address those concerns. The Christological controversies in the first three centuries of the church, the denial of the deity of Christ, the denial of the resurrection, all of these things that the church has answered in the great confessional writings of the church. You think about the Nicene Creed, you think about the Athanasian Creed that dealt with the doctrine of the Trinity and the deity of Christ and wonderful biblical Christology. And these were answers to heresies, and heresies that were allowed, and I think this is important to note, to come into the church but had to be rebuffed. And so this is no different. And this has come into the church, mainline denominations, our own church body dealing with things like wokeism and critical race theory on the campuses of our own universities. It's going to be a hard fight, but a necessary fight. And by fight, I'm talking about disputing on the basis of the Word of God, assertions and truth, and plumbing the depths of the Scriptures, revisiting that which we have known and believed and confessed, but understanding them not in a new way as in a different way, but a new way as in a fuller way. And so that's what I tried to begin the conversation with today in our discussion, by talking about the order of creation, men and women, and the state of being under God in creation, and talking about our actual sexuality and why that matters. And it really is an attack against the ancient Gnosticism that threatened the church. It is a denial of the incarnation, which means it is in the spirit of Antichrist, and it does threaten to destroy. And so we need to be churchmen, and we need to be pastors. We need to be churchmen in the sense of confessing unabashedly the truth of what God's word says about human sexuality and marriage and family. We need to set forth the positive theses as well as condemn the negative theses. But then we have to do the hard work of pastoral care for those who are caught up in the web of false doctrine and false practice in this regard. And this is where I think our next discussion together, I really want us to talk about pastoral care and make sure that we as pastors are quick to listen to people who are struggling with various sin and slow to speak. We can condemn the LGBTQ agenda, and we need to do that, but we also need to be sensitive to the particular struggles that our members have been having that perhaps are tempting them to a particular lifestyle or to embracing a particular lifestyle. And so in this regard, you know, someone who wants to, thinks they want to have a sex change operation if they're a young adult, we as pastors need to find out what is it, what kind of abusive behavior has happened in their life that has caused them to feel such shame and such sense of dirtiness that they must shed their very skin and become something that God has not made them to be. And so I like to advocate, you know, for example, in the area of private confession and absolution, that we should think of absolution privately, the proclamation of Christ's forgiving grace and mercy, as not only being for the sins that we have committed, that I have committed. You know, I go to my father confessor, this is what I have done. But it's also extremely important for the sins and the defilement that has been perpetrated against me. So a child who has been physically abused needs to be made whole by the gospel of Christ so that they can accept once again their sexuality as young boys or young women or as girls or as young men, that this is good. It has been made dirty. It has been defiled by what has been done to you. But the essence of who you are, that state of being, is redeemed and sanctified and made new by the blood of Christ. And in this regard, also then, the Lord's Supper has an important role to play in pastoral care, because we who have been violated in our physicality as men or as women, or perhaps we have at some point fallen prey to some temptation to engage in disordered activity, here we receive the body and blood of Christ, his very body for our sinful bodies, his very blood for our sinful blood to make us whole and complete in his redeeming work. And so it's not like one or the other. We have to clearly assert what God's word teaches on the one hand about marriage and family and what it is to be male and female made in the image and likeness of God. But then we also have to be very quick to listen and develop the art of applying the law and the gospel where it is specifically needed for those who are caught up in the LGBTQ movement or have been victims of the LGBTQ ideology and theology.
Pastor Peter Bender is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin. He's director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy and is currently leading a Bible study on the St. Peter Option. You'll find a link to the Concordia Catechetical Academy on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Peter, thanks.
Thank you, Todd.
Tuesday on Issues Etc., we'll have Pastors Brian Wolfmiller and Brian Ketchelmeyer respond to your unanswered Bible questions, and we'll have Pastor Tom Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Jesus' death and resurrection in Mark chapters 15 and 16. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. The Southern Illinois District Advocates for Life
invite you to join your brothers and sisters in Christ for a peaceful, life-affirming prayer vigil at the Planned Parenthood facility in Fairview Heights, Illinois, Saturday morning, March 26th. Pre-service music at 9:45 with the prayer vigil at 10 a.m. For more information, visit sidadvocatesforlife.com. That's sidadvocatesforlife.com.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.